Bantucentric is recommended for listeners over the age of 16 as it may contain foul language and/or mature subject matter. This podcast is brought to you by Gifted Sounds Network and Imagine Only Productions.
And as always, stay woke.
And stay Bantu.
And as always, and as always, and as always.
Welcome to Bantu-centric. My name is Buck Rivers, and with me as always is my co-host, Cheyenne Finch.
We're a couple of Bantus discussing movies, music, relationships, and pretty much everything else.
And this week, I would like to discuss something that's not necessarily black. See, we have
what?
Two sides of this coin.
When do we ever do that? All of our topics are black focused. How dare you?
I know.
Stray from
guys.
The norm. Wow.
We're so dedicated to being completely Bantu-centric on every episode of Bantu-centric. I know. Well, lately I think we have been. Lately we've had some dark and serious topics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get us into some lighter stuff, you know? These past
how
couple of months have been
dudes need to
stressful.
Stop lying to get chicks into bed?
Yeah.
That was a real dark topic.
I think so, you know, or just stuff that pertains closely to our community, you know, whereas sadly the stereotype for us doesn't have anything to do with reading, and so this topic about fan fiction doesn't necessarily connect to us. Now black people do a lot of reading. I'm just saying that nobody's out here saying, oh, is that a book in your hand? Nobody's making jokes like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They should be, because that'd be awesome. But we're not Asian people. Asian people get those kind of stereotypes. We get chicken and basketball. So,
chicken's not gonna lie.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, it's a couple of them that are endearing. We got big penises. That's cool. I'm glad to have that one.
I don't have that
one. You can't benefit.
So.
Yeah, you can't benefit from that, but it's okay. I'm cool.
I had a joke.
But,
I
feel like that joke would be very offensive toward me, so I'm glad you're not gonna say that joke. I'm just predicting that I wouldn't enjoy that joke.
Why would you assume I would just be offending you? Like,
because
maybe
anytime
it was just
that,
a funny joke, but inappropriate in the sexual context, and I'm a daffodil, so I can't say it. But it did pop in my head. I'm gonna leave it there.
Speaking of dicks, there's a lot of dicks in fan fiction. So see, I'm gonna transition into the same topic. I think fan fiction might be kind of killing the experience of enjoying films and books for people. Not necessarily exactly, but I do think that there's a lot of time where people get the whole headcanon thing. And I think nowadays we're taking it a little bit too far, you know, depending on how you view a certain character. I think that you kind of take those assumptions into the movies with you, and then you're kind of mad because they didn't go on this long tangent about this cool thing that would have been awesome that you read about in a fan fiction, you know. And I used to kind of get involved with that. You know, there were different stories and different what-if scenarios that I really enjoyed. But I do think that people kind of want to, they want to know exactly what's going to happen in something. And then if it doesn't happen in that exact way, then they get all pissed off about it. But I think that a lot of that might be fueled by everybody just, you know, writing it themselves. I don't think you shouldn't be allowed to, but I don't know. I also don't think that it's as creative as it could be. I think that there's some issues with that, but we can move into that next. What do you think?
Well, as someone that used to write fan fiction, I think fan fiction is
loser.
You know what? Fight me. I did very well for a while. I had fans. Get out. So as a former published author,
Oh, yeah.
I feel that fan fiction actually adds to the experience of the books and of the movies and things like that. Here's how corny I was. I wrote fan fiction on Sunny with a Chance from Disney Channel. Yep, that's right. Fight me.
Really?
Yeah. I was in I was in middle school, and it was a good show. And I had fans, like, people writing to me every week, when's the next chapter coming out? Oh, my God, this is such a good story. I had, I had people. And I feel
that was
like...
That a pretty good show.
I feel like fan fiction adds to the universe. It adds to the experience. It adds to the entertainment value. And I feel like without it, we would just have, like, the main canon. And though that is entertaining in its own right, everybody has their own imaginations. And as we're reading, I'm sure readers have so many questions about, well, what if this character did this? Well, what if we had that? Oh, I wish these two would end up together. Well, what if this happened? Like, there are so many things you can do from a main story. What I don't agree with is authors coming out from their own stories and just giving, like, little quick sexual tidbits about their characters that they don't include in the work at all. They're like, by the way, these two characters have a sexual relationship you'll never see. So
don't fucking see it.
Like, I mean, shade, no shade, but, like, what's up with that? Like, oh yeah, they were together, but we're never gonna talk about it. Then they weren't together. Yeah. That's not canon. That's just something you made up off the top of your head and decided to tweet.
But that's exactly what I'm saying, is that when the author does it, it's annoying because it's not actually part of it. And I understand why that's annoying, especially when it's some random 15-year-old that is writing all of this bullshit, and then they come out of the movie like, well, why didn't they have this whole long subplot? It's like, well, because that's not real. Because you made that up. Like, right. I get that there are
You can't get mad if
you
your own
like
fan fiction
see.
Wasn't in the movie. Like,
yeah, I think that people just take it a little bit too far with just their expectations being just based on what they would like to see, you know? And also, I think it's because I think it degrades the art a little bit. That it's like the author... And the author or the filmmakers or whatever have created something and they've presented it to you in a very specific way. And so, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that is just fueled by corporations, you know, so there's that. But at the same time, this thing was crafted by people, you know, and it's not that you shouldn't be allowed to expand upon that. I'm not saying fan fiction shouldn't exist. I just think that people kind of rely on it, like you were saying, to deepen it. But it's not deepening what is there because it's not actually part of it. So the author wanted you to get a certain level of depth, and that's it. I guess like you talked about the It remake, you know, how you read the book and you're like, but they didn't dive into all of that stuff. And I was talking to you and I was like, there's all of that is in there because Stephen King likes to really flesh out his stuff, which is fine. And that's what authors do. But when you translate into a different medium, you kind of have to trim the fat. But you might enjoy the movie knowing that this stuff is going on in the background. But I don't necessarily think it's fair every time that the people that love the book are like hating on the movie because it didn't dive into every single element. Like it with its, you know, its turtle and all of this, the realms and every single character in the entire town has a whole long 30-year chapter. Like he just dives into everything. That would be the longest and most boring movie ever.
And that aspect I understand changing the movie from the way that the book is made. My issue with books that are turned into movies is when you take things that don't necessarily need to be changed and you change them. Okay. Take for instance the fact that in the book there is honestly their names are escaping me right now, but you know, like there's a chubby white kid and he's like He's got all the maps and stuff around his room, and he reads all the books, and he's tracking all the information down about the city and
Yeah, that's the black kid.
That's the black kid in the book, and they took that from him. That's offensive. And I was why? Because that didn't add anything to the story for me. It didn't make it more cinematically appealing to me for you to make that transition. Like, it's just, like, stuff like that. But to completely remove, like, the giant spider and, like, the orgy scene and, like, all that stuff. Okay, I get that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like, I'm not going to be mad about that. But, like, why?
Yeah.
Little things, like it says this character does this in the book. Why couldn't they do that in the movie? It would have changed nothing. Like,
I agree. But in that case, both of those things are part of the lore. And so it either takes away from the movie or adds to the movie. But they're all kind of made in the same light, you know? Whereas when it's fan fiction is the written thing, and then you go see the next installment of your Marvel movie. Because I had people that were complaining that they didn't go into Steve and Bucky's apparent gay relationship. And I'm like, I don't know that that's canon. I'm not sure. But I've never seen anything in the comics about that. And in the movies, they're just really close friends. But I'm 90% sure that's not a thing. That's official. But people were like, but I read all these different things about it. And people had theories about it. And it's like,
you
I
get it.
You have
to understand the difference between fan fiction theories and then actual canon. And if you go to a movie, you're going to see canon. You're not there to see what book gangster 213 wrote on fanfiction.net. That's not going to show up in the movie.
Exactly. or the fact that if you watch it, when I've read a book and then I see a movie that's kind of meh, like for me, the first time I watched Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I just didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. But then I read the book and watched the movie again. And despite it being not a good representation, anybody who's a fan of Hitchhiker's Guide probably doesn't like that movie, I enjoyed it in a different way because I understood what they were referencing, albeit I don't think they did it quite as well, but I thought it was sort of an homage to the books and not just a direct retelling of the books, you know? So it enhanced an otherwise kind of shitty movie. So if you're also relying on fan fiction, you believe all of this depth is there in these characters that you kind of created for yourself or that, you know, some random guy online created for you. And this movie might be complete bullshit. And now you're defending it because all of this different stuff and they're actually about all of this. And this is what not necessarily, maybe this is just a bad movie. Like, maybe their motivation isn't that deep, but you have all of these extra chapters in your head. I don't think it's bad. I think that we have too many expectations for stuff. And when it doesn't meet our expectations, people get mad. You know, Deadpool 2 is a very, very good movie. I love Deadpool 2. I was personally mad because they didn't have I'm the Juggernaut bitch joke anywhere in that movie. And they should have put it in there. So I'm mad. But me being mad doesn't matter. And I don't get to be mad. I'm mad now and it's not right, you know? Because as much as I thought that joke should have been, as soon as I saw Juggernaut, I was like, they're gonna do this joke. And it went and ended. And I was looking at my friend Chris and I'm like, what the fuck? And she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, they didn't have the joke.
What's wrong with you? Like,
this is Deadpool. You're not gonna reference the most, like, memeable part of all of the X-Men movies? Like, what else is that memeable? Like, come up with something besides I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Like, that was he could have said it. He could have mumbled it. Like, so, but that's headcanon. That's headcanon. I came into this movie expecting some shit that didn't happen. The movie is still 8 out of 10, but I'm gonna give it a 6 because there weren't all of these little things that I really came to love and cry about at night hoping to see it. There's emotion built into other people's art, and when it's not the artist's art, then you're adding feeling and emotion that you just kind of forced in there, and I think that might have some issues. I don't know.
I mean, honestly,
I think the same way about different stuff. I don't know.
I think I agree with you from, like, the fan perspective. Like, you shouldn't be mad if like all the subplots you read about online and like you've come to love don't end up in the movie. But yeah. I think when it comes to actual like people that actually like create the fan fiction or do get engaged mm-hmm. in the fan fiction, I don't think the fan fiction takes away from the original piece. Like I said before, I think it adds to it. My problem is when somebody creates fan fiction and then they start to make money off of it and pretend like it came from something, like it didn't come from something that was already made.
Yeah.
Take for instance, and yes, I'm going to call them out. 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey was a fan fiction written based on Twilight. Yeah. We all know this. But they're yeah. going to put it in the movies and publish it as a book as if it was its own yeah. thought and idea. And that kind of irritates me because now this person's making money yeah. off of somebody else's whole, like, plot point. Like, okay, we just took out the yeah. fact that he's not a vampire and now he's extra horny. Cool. Like, mm-hmm. it's still the same, like, deal. And
yeah.
like, things like that kind of irk me because I feel like that's taking away from the original, like, art, from the creator of the original story. It's kind of, yeah. like, saying, like, anybody can do this, and then you just go out and do the thing and make, like, yeah. bank off of it. That's wild to me. But if you're somebody like me and you just, like, you go online and you write your stories for the community and everybody yeah. engages in it, and they're like, oh, it would be great. Like, I'm not gonna lie. I was, like, in... Like, going into high school, I would read, like, fan mm-hmm. fictions of... I was really into Twilight. Don't judge me. I was white as a child. I've grown. That's cool. I'm better. But
I've come to terms with that.
Yes, but... I cry nightly, I really loved but, Twilight, you know, for a short period of time. And...
Okay.
I used to look up fan really fiction short, of, like, Bella dating everybody but Edward. Like, I wanted okay. her... Like, I saw her in, like... I read about her in relationships with, like, Alice, with Emmett, with Rosalie, all of okay. them. Like, gay, straight, it didn't matter. I think there was one about her with Carlisle. Like, there was a whole thing. And it was just, like, this interested me, like, to see, like, what would happen if she didn't end up with Edward? Like, if they just
yeah.
went their separate ways, or maybe if she, like, completely fell in love with Jacob and they ran off, what would happen? Like, yeah. this is why I read fan fiction. I wanted a different perspective of, like, what would happen okay. if. Or what if, like, what happened when these two went this place and then the screen cut to black? Like, I want to know yeah. what happened. And yeah, it's not exactly canon, but it adds to my own imagination, and that makes me okay. happy.
Yeah, I think that personal enjoyment is there. That's why I'm not against fan fiction. There were a handful of fan fictions that I read and enjoyed growing up. But I do think, though, that... I don't know. I've known a handful of fan fiction writers, including yourself, but you don't act like this. My thing is, I think that take E.L. James. 50 Shades is so poorly written, and the films are so poorly put together. The first one had a semblance of actual creativity because they had good directors, and then she complained and got those people fired and replaced them with her personal friends. That's how the second and third were made, and then held the entire production hostage. I watched like 4 hours of like documentary footage of the production of this movie. I don't know why someone made like a 4-hour documentary and I was interested enough to watch all of the stuff behind 50 Shades. So I'm an expert on the creation of 50 Shades despite having not read them and only seen the first movie. So that's, you know, but she's not a good writer, but she thinks she's a good writer. the reason she's not a good writer isn't just because she just sucks or because of what she created, but because she didn't do the majority of the work to create this thing. And that's why I think fan fiction is inherently of lesser quality, and why people who just rely on their experience with fan fiction don't understand that they're missing something so integral, is because you didn't introduce Sunny in your fan fiction. Sunny right. was introduced by another artist, and that artist told you who she was, what her motivations were, what ran her mind behind the actions, and then you produce new actions. E.L. James didn't create Christian Grey, because Christian Grey is just Edward. And when you're reading it as a fan fiction and it says Edward, you're thinking about the character that was created by what's the other lady's name?
Stephanie Meyer.
That's not the that work I would know. That Stephanie Meyer put into this. And I'm just gonna say I don't have any ill will toward anybody that likes Twilight. I recently watched some stuff that was kind of explaining how shitty it was that people hated it so much, and it wasn't that bad, but we kind of have this inherent need to shit on teenage girls and everything that they like, and that Bella needed to be a role model for women for what fucking reason, when you make Fast and the Furious for teen boys and no one's saying that they need to be role models. So yeah, everyone hating Twilight was kind of shitty. There was more involved in that. So I don't know what he needs to defend
Bella was against so that anymore. I think that Stephanie Meyer, women, we're in trouble. Like,
yeah, and but she doesn't fucking need to be. You know, she can make decisions as she would. Plus, she's supposed to be a teenager, and teenagers aren't right. fucking smart. Like, it's a fantasy for teenagers, and that's what it did. And so the fact that all these girls loved it, that was why. That's why Vampire Sucked came out and was like 90% violence toward teen girls just beating the shit out of each other, because people hate teenage girls. Like, that's a major part of our psyche that we need to deal with. But so yeah, I think that Stephanie Meyer is an artist, and even though I don't think the work was the best literary quality that it could have been, she put effort into making these characters. E.L. James riffed off the foundation of that, turned it into something else, and then just changed all the names, which gets rid of all the context. Because when Edward is fucking people, you know Edward, who was introduced and has these traits, and now he's fucking people. When Christian Grey's fucking people, he just starts out fucking people. And then, who is he? We're not gonna develop these characters, because I'm a shitty writer. Like, that's why those movies are so bad, is because she didn't then go back and make these people into people. She just kinda piecemealed some shit together, and all of that headcanon comes from there being real canon. So I completely agree, because fan fiction inherently cannot have that same level of quality, because the movie or the other books or whatever have done all the work for you, and now you just start there. And so I do think that a lot of fan fiction writers kind of go in like, well, I've been writing fan fiction this whole time, so I know. And it's like, but do you know how to craft characters? Have you done that? Because a full structure of development doesn't mean, you know, Sunny walked into the room and said hi to this guy. Then they went and they looked into each other's eyes. Who the fuck is Sunny? Tell me who she is, because I don't know anything right. about her. That's why you can't read fan fiction from stuff you're not a fan of. That's why it sucks to anybody that just jumps in and is like, I've had friends like thrust something in front of me, a Twilight fan fiction. I'm like, I don't like Twilight, so I can't engage with this, because this is a really, you know, easy writer, you know, like, this writer didn't put in the work because they didn't know they had to. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not against it. I think people need to temper their expectations, you know, and I think if it's fun, it's fun, and let's leave it there. But I do think that it fuels a lot of those same kind of feelings that people have toward the new Star Wars movies, because they read one book that was kind of maybe sort of canon, but was, you know, pieced together from all these what if stories between the 80s and the 90s. And so you grew up reading these books, and then Disney gets Star Wars and says, these things aren't canon anymore. well, this is the story we're going to tell. And now you're like, well, Luke Skywalker in the books went on to do all of this stuff. And he was supposed to be like this. And he has this other sister that we never knew about. Shut the fuck up. That's not canon. This was somebody who just was legally allowed to publish their fan fiction. That's what all the extended universe stuff is mm-hmm. just fan fiction. And you look at Star Wars fans now, that's what it breeds. You know, it's not always, but I do think that that mentality in a pressure cooker that's run by white men turns into the demons that came out to try and boycott Last Jedi or recut the movie and remove all the women. That's what happens. That's what fan fiction does when you add white men to it. Everybody else, you mix that up and you're good, and it's just fun. You add, you sprinkle in some white dudes and it just, yeah. But that's a lot of formulas. If you add white men, a lot of stuff goes sour. But we're not here to talk about that.
But we're not bitter.
This fancy stitcher. Sprinkles of white men. but yeah, that's all. But yeah, no shade to fan fiction fans or fan fiction writers.
I feel shade.
Except for you. You can feel
shade.
Shade.
But it's getting pretty dark over here.
I respect shady. You. But speaking of writers and creators and filmmakers and people that do shit, it's time for plugs. And I am gonna plug Imagine Only Productions, the best place. Okay, it's not the best place because we haven't done much. So I'm not gonna lie to y'all. We're not some major company that's gonna like help you produce all your shit, but we're gonna try. Like, so we might not be the best place to get your shit made, but especially if you're in the New York area, you should reach out to us because we're trying to make stuff with people. If you're a creator, if you're a writer, if you're a singer, if you do shit and you're looking for people who are enthusiastic about the shit you do, we are enthusiastic about pretty much everything. And we will connect you with people that are also enthusiastic. It might take some time. We don't have the biggest network yet, but that's what we're trying to produce. That's what we're trying to make and build toward. And if you want to help us build toward it, it's not just a service. It's not just some shit that we want you to do for free. You would be a part of the team and you will help us build this. And in 10, 15 years, when we're all making money, you'll be counting the money too, you know? And you'll be on the website as one of the integral creators that built this thing. And then you'll have employees and you'll be beating people and taking their wages and cutting their 401ks. Just like the biggest people up there. You wanna be a ruthless CEO? Well, you can't, cause I ain't, I'm the CEO. But you could be a ruthless secondary member of the board if you'd like to. So yeah, reach out to Naturally Productions.
Like, I don't think he's gonna stop. I think it's just gonna keep going, keep spiraling.
That's all. Go,
you're
yeah,
not a CEO. I mean, I run this. I'm head of it.
Yeah.
I'm in charge. Fight
I got
me
the power.
With both
you
hands.
You can't take this from me. It's like breaking stuff. But reach out to us, imagineonlyproductions@gmail.com. I should probably include that shit. Imagineonlyprod on Twitter. Or you can just tweet at BantuCentric, which you should be doing anyway. You should tell us what you think about fanfiction. That's what I think you should do. If you're a person who has heard this particular episode, if you tweeted us at Imagine Only Productions asking to be involved because you just heard this ad, but you haven't also tweeted at BantuCentric, maybe I'll consider not letting you work with us. How about that? So if you're a creator and you want to work with some good black people, but you can't tweet at some black people, then you've got more problems to figure out within yourself. But, you know, I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to...
But you're always judging. You know, you're like produce. Constantly judging. It's what you
I'm
do.
I'm not, though. Like, yeah. I'm not, though. You know, I think the whole world is judging. And I'm not. And it just seems the opposite, you
judger.
Know.
Judger.
I think that's what it is. So what do you have to plug?
I ain't got no plugs.
Why not? Why don't you ever have plugs anymore? You're not doing anything with your life.
I'm not sick. No vapor
rub. Just schlepping.
I could plug Fenty. I just bought that new body lava. I got it in brown sugar. I got myself a kabuki brush. Like, I'm ready for the summer. Hey, guys.
I've been
I'm ready.
Passing on
my body
your...
is ready.
I've been passing on your recommendations to my mom. And so she really likes Fenty as well. So thank you.
Yes, you body lava and kabuki brush, mama. Get it. Yes, it's limited time stuff, only.
Because like, it probably smells like something, right? She can't do with all the chemicals.
Like perfume.
Yeah, she can't do perfume. Yeah. Oh, so if you're ever around my mom, like, nice. Don't wear perfume. You'll literally kill her. Like, she'll have an asthma attack. Yeah, it's serious stuff. Okay. But yeah, Fenty. I don't know anything about it, but shop there anyway. Black person owns it, right?
Yeah, Rihanna.
Yeah, so support black people.
Yeah.
And plus, tweet at
she
Fenty
looks
Central.
Flawless in all of her products, so.
I agree. But yeah.
So that's my plug. Sponsor us, Fenty. Hey.
That would be great. I can't help you review the products. I could, but I won't. But,
I can.
You know. Sponsor us anyway. She can.
I will happily model your products on Instagram. Yes. I already do, but I would love to get paid for it. So, yes. Hey.
That's what matters. So, yeah. If you guys know anybody connected to Fenty, reach out to them and tell them to reach out to us at BantuCentric on Twitter. And Speaking of, I don't know, makeup?
Bantus?
Speaking of Bantus, I guess. I mean.
Just do the segue.
I can't think of a good segue. Like,
just speaking of Bantus.
But that's not a segue. Like, I think we already used that one too, honestly.
We're spending 10 minutes talking about the segue.
It's the Bantu of the day! That was the segue! It was a hidden segue. You didn't even know it was a segue. That's how cool that segue was. Our Bantu of the day is Deshuna Eliza Spencer, otherwise not known because people don't necessarily know the name just right off the top of their heads because they know Quelly though. If you don't know Quelly TV, you need to get on it. She is the creator of Quelly TV, which is a all-black streaming service, which I was so surprised to find out about. I don't know how I didn't hear about it. Apparently it's been around at least a couple of years so far. And it's great. It is very affordable. You can get a month-to-month plan for only $5.99 a month. If you want to really support some black businesses, you can throw $50 in there and you'll get a full annual membership. Or you can rent one of the movies for $2.99 and just check it out for 24 hours. And then they also have a live channel that's free where they play different stuff. And you can check that out too if you're not really sure. I love Quelly. I don't know if you got a chance to check it out, did you?
No, I didn't get a chance to check it out. Okay. I'm sorry. Well,
Cheyenne doesn't do her homework, but I think
I've been working two jobs. My back hurts, and I'm perpetually exhausted.
Well,
tell me about Quelly TV. Shit. Damn it.
Well, I watched a great movie called Fire with Fire. I think you would like it, honestly. So if you need to relax and not deal with the pressure,
which I do,
life,
I really I do. Help!
So watch Fire with Fire.
Help!
Or maybe
me.
Maybe watch Fire with Fire because it's a very intense movie. But it's a movie. It was produced in South Africa. It's English language, but there's a lot of different languages mixed in. And so there are subtitles, but it's not. If you're a person that likes sparing subtitles, they're speaking English and they're speaking a lot of languages, so kind of get over it. But I think it's a very, very well-produced movie. And comparatively to some other kind of independent films, it has that cinema quality that you might expect from these sorts of movies. And I have no idea how people don't know about it. It's not even on IMDb. Like, this movie is such on the down low that this needs to be, you know, Oscar contender kind of stuff, and people just don't know about it. And I think right now it's exclusively on Quelly TV. So if you're interested in that, it deals with apartheid South Africa. It's a very intense movie. I think you guys should check it out. But yeah, Deshuna Eliza Spencer, we're just very happy that you are finding success with Quelly TV. And if there's any way that we can help you out, we want to be able to do so.
Okay, it does sound good. I will definitely be checking that out on the next day off, which is probably 7 months from now.
Shit.
So if I have not died by then...
You need to quit. white.
I will watch your show. I apologize if my death comes sooner than I have promised.
She's losing it, but she's been working really hard. But when she gets a chance, she's going to check out Quelly TV. And I think you guys should check out Quelly TV as well. By the way, for you, not for the listeners, I have an account. Like, you have it's a Bantu-centric account, so you can use that account if you would like to. You know, I'm just saying. But yeah, guys, please, please, please support Quelly TV. And to Dashuna Eliza Spencer, we would like to thank you for all that you do. And we want to thank you for being Bantu.
You could have been anything, but you chose us, and we appreciate your business.
Yes.
Speaking of business.
Yeah.
You ever had one and then had people break into it? Who are you going to call?
I haven't. Ghostbusters.
Not Ghostbusters, no.
What are you getting at? I don't understand what this is.
I'm getting at, is there a good reason as a black person to ever call the police?
No, never.
No? Why do you feel that way?
Well, let me think about it.
Well, I'm pretty sure I know why you feel that way, but like, explain.
I don't know. I honestly don't. If I saw that somebody white was in danger and I wasn't able to help them, I would call the police from a great distance and then vacate the premises. That's what I would do. If I see a black person's in danger and I can't help them, I'm not gonna film that shit because I don't think that's right. But if I cannot help them, which I don't know why I would be able to, I will do my best to help them myself, or if I had to walk away, you know, if me and you were walking around and somebody was just getting their ass beat and knives were flying and, you know, I'm not jumping in because you might get hurt and I'm just gonna, we're gonna have to keep walking because I wouldn't be able to live with myself if something happened to you, you know? So that's a different story, but I still don't know about calling the police because the cops will just show up and shoot both of them. The knife wielder and the innocent bystander, and there wouldn't be anything. At least the innocent bystander has a chance of getting out of there with their own life as long as you don't call the fucking cops on anybody. So, no, I really don't see a scenario when it helps, primarily because when you call them to stop something or prevent something or do something in protection of you, they're there ready to hurt you, to accuse you, to make you feel uncomfortable until you start feeling aggravated and frustrated, and then they throw you on the ground and arrest you. And if you call them just for a basic ass report, somebody broke in, let's file a report, 9 times out of 10, they don't fucking show up, depending on what neighborhood you live in. And when they do show up, they just kind of look around, scribble some shit, go away, and then they probably throw that shit in the trash. I have yet to see a scenario where someone was robbed and then the police worked hard to find out and solve this crime and get some justice for anybody who wasn't white. So I don't think that they serve a purpose other than if you want somebody to get their shit shot up, then sure. You know, I've seen plenty of disgruntled girlfriend call the cops on their boyfriend saying, "You gonna get shot today," which I don't think you should, but I've seen it, you know? So if you're trying to get your man shot, call the cops. That serves a purpose.
I mean,
don't do that. We're not advocating for that. Don't do that. Don't say, "Bantu Zinter told me to get my man shot." That's not what happened. I'm not liable.
I really don't
want to
end up
court.
In court talking about this. Yeah. These people. We
let's
have
play
you
the
on
clip.
Tape, say.
let's play it. It's like, that was doctored. I don't think.
No,
I said
but
that.
Honestly, if it is a situation that's in the street where it's like me against another person, and I'm like, quick, call the cops, help me. I'm probably not gonna like tell somebody to call the cops because the situation it does look like, who is the bad guy? I'm just gonna shoot both of them. Like that's not gonna go well. But if I am, let's say I'm at home and like somebody has broken into my home, then I would call the cops in that situation. if I've been kidnapped and I find access to a phone, I will call the cops in that situation. Because it's like, what else are you going to do? Like, I have nowhere else to go.
Death.
Fight what? I'm a daffodil. Like, what am I fighting? Like,
or fucking call me. Like, I'll get there.
You live in a different state.
I'll fly down. It won't take that long.
And I'm dead. I'm dead. By the time you get there, I have died.
Hey, you making all these phone calls long distance. I think you got time. Like, come on.
No. But there was a situation back when I lived in LA. My mom and I, we were getting ready for bed, and we noticed that there was a man just, like, sitting in front of our front door. Like, we had a little, like, yeah, there was, like, a little area, like, little pocket within the building, and then there's our front door. So he's sitting in front of our front door, and we notice he won't leave.
Like, facing the front door?
No, he was, like, sideways. Like, okay, just
so he's kind of chilling, but there. Not like I'm, like.
No, he wasn't, like, stalking us.
This wasn't
us.
The Purge, him looking in the peephole, like, I
no.
Okay.
So he was just, he was sitting there. My mom tried to ask him to leave through the window, and he didn't, leave. He kind of grunted at us, whatever.
Ugh.
So we called the police, we explained the situation, we said, like, this man isn't leaving and we're uncomfortable. Like, and they were like, okay, we'll send a car over. Couple hours went by. The man eventually left. We went to bed, woke up the next morning, realized the police never showed up.
Wow.
So,
yep. There you go.
I was
I'm thinking,
wow,
you got a story.
We could have died.
Exactly. Like, fucking exactly. You know? I've had many run-ins with the cops since I've been an adult, but it was like, where are you going? What are you doing here? Kind of shit. Like, no, I didn't ask them to be here. No one called them. They were just harassing me for no fucking reason. So that's an everyday experience. But I made some water balloons once, and this kid down the street, this white kid came, and he was throwing water balloons at this house across the street. And I think the house had mostly been empty, so he might have thought it was empty, but I'm pretty sure everybody knew somebody had moved in there. It was this black lady. And so she comes outside and is like, I'm calling the cops. And then she's outside on the phone saying that a couple of teenagers are basically shooting up the property in front of her house. Now, why this black woman decided to see me not doing anything and do that was horrible. Plus, saying teenagers when we were like 10. I was like 9. The white kid was like 10. I was a bit taller than the kid. They send one of those paddy wagon fucking cars. Like, they were gonna be loading up a bunch of dudes. They showed up and saw some kids. I was crying already. My parents were like, you gotta talk to the cops, you know. White cop, black cop, they show up, they go talk to the white kid, ask him what happened. I don't hear what he said, but all I know is they then came over to me and were like, so we know that you're older and that you were doing this stuff, so what happened? Like, why were you throwing water balloons? And I'm just like, my parents had just coached me on how to stay calm and talk, and that didn't work. I didn't throw a fucking balloon, like, not one. So I don't know what was going on here. But they were like, we know that you're older. We know, they were saying, you need to be a better role model for kids. I was like, he's older than me. And I didn't understand what was going on until I got older, until my parents really explained it to me, just that I'm black. I'm a little bit taller than this kid, but they assumed, they took his word, they asked him first, and regardless, black cop, white cop, they were both there, and both of them assumed that I was the one who was in the wrong here, and I hadn't thrown a single balloon. And then this lady made me sweep up the pots in front of her house that he broke with these water balloons, and then whilst I was crying while cleaning up her front yard, she's like, oh, you little baby, why don't you come here and give me a hug? I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And then I had to fucking hug this lady. Like, you just called the cops on me. Like, really? It was just like, you don't... I fucking hugged her. Like, She was a black lady, you know, so it was that kind of you have to kind of thing. You're a black kid, you as a black woman, you gotta hug her. Like, she told you to, so you must. I was like, who the fuck? Like, what? What? You know, I haven't seen a scenario where the cops have done their job in a way that didn't end up with people in pain and misery, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't think that they do their job properly. And if I was kidnapped or something, which, good luck, I'm a very large man, but, you know, kudos. If somebody manages to kidnap me, I'm not calling the cops because they'll see me and think I'm the fucking kidnapper. I'll be tied up, bound.
I mean, you won't have the ski mask on. Fucking, and, like,
it won't matter. You won't, it be won't driving matter. The van. I'll be tied up with a ball gag in a gimp suit, all strapped to a chair, and like, help me, and wow, they'll shoot my fucking ass.
Like, kidnapped you. Like,
I don't know, but he's gotta be into some shit if he's grabbing 6'1 black men off the street.
Most people just, that's like, all put I'm a sock saying. In your mouth. You have the whole ball gag. This man that went out and spent me. Like $14.99 at a store.
Like, he's a pro. He's a fucking pro. Like
actual effort.
Yeah, you could have grabbed all them little people out there. You grabbed me? All right. You better do some horrible stuff to me. Because you could have grabbed me
too quick. I got the speed.
Like, yeah, like, you better do some horrible stuff to me. Because I'm a lot of chick.
If you kidnap me, then, like, kudos to you. Like, I don't look that big, but I got some dense bones. Like, I'm pretty heavy. I always gotta warn people. Like, people always try to pick me up. They're like, oh, I'm just gonna pick you up. It's fine. I'm like, no, it's not fine. And they're like, no, trust me, I can pick you up. It's great. And I'm like, no, trust me, you don't wanna pick me up. And, like, and it's always dudes trying to prove they're, like, real, like, big and strong. They're like, yeah, no, you're light. It's fine. You don't weigh that much. What are you, like, a 150? And I'm like, you don't know. That's a buck. That's cute. Like, I got some dense bones. Like, I look good, but, like, trust, this weight is not something that you want. So if you try to kidnap me, you in for a surprise. Like, my weight is my whole defense. They're going to try and, like, sling me over their shoulder, and then they might just die. And it's like, ha,
they'll just die. Like, oh, no. Something, like, you weren't expecting this. Killing, like, people.
Yep.
Just breaking whole spines.
Like,
the, yeah, like, I don't know.
Be on the ground like, oh, I thought she was lighter. She didn't look, yeah, like she felt, like, yup, bet, try me.
I don't know. I just can't. Like the video that was out last week, the two girls had a gun pointed at them. This man was calling them hoes on the street. They keep walking. He pulls out a gun on them out of nowhere. They run off and call the cops. Cops show up, two police officers, asking them what's happened. Or no, ask him what happened. Then they show up, and when the video starts, they're like, so what point did you call him a faggot? And they were like, yeah, we said it after he called us all kinds of different words. We called him that. And then he pulled a gun on us, like, that, the shotgun, like, that was the problem here. And the cop was like, no, but I need you to understand that you were a part of this. And it was like, no, we weren't. We said some words, and then he threatened us with a shotgun. And this was just going on, and it was just clear from the jump that this man was ready to accuse them and to make them feel uncomfortable. And it was crazy because there was a split second where the cop that didn't have the body cam, he was like, you need to calm down, you're getting agitated, blah, blah, blah. And they were both being very relatively calm in this situation. And the cop with the body cam, for a split second, he was like, you know, I understand you guys have been through some stuff. You know, we know that you're not freaking out. And so she calmed. Like, it was interesting because he acknowledged her pain and she calmed down for just a second. And then you could tell it was like it hit her and she shouldn't have said it and didn't want to say it, but she said it anyway. And she was just like, he's being nice and trying to help me. Why can't you be understanding? And then the other guy starts going off. And then at the end of the day, this girl's agitated. Apparently, her kids need to be picked up from somewhere, or they're sick or something. Her phone's about to die. She's the one that lives in this house right here. And she asked if she could run in real quick and put her phone on the charger. And they're like, no. And she's like, my kid is sick. And I just had a gun pointed at me. You guys are antagonizing me, and I'm freaking out because my kid is, you know, like, she's mm-hmm. human. She's in a stressful situation, and she just had a gun pointed on her, and she has responsibilities. And then this guy grabs her and is like, if you don't calm down, you're getting arrested. And then they arrest her. And then body cam, Mr. Understanding, goes ahead and helps out in the assault and arrest of these two girls for nothing. So dude with the shotgun is perfectly fine, but these two black women get assaulted and thrown in the back of a car because shit happens. Like, that's what I mean. I don't see any scenario calm or intense or anything. They don't show up ready to save you, and when you call them just to report some shit, they're ready to make sure that it's your fault some kind of way and make you feel like shit. So there's nothing you can really do, you know? Calling 911 to get ambulances, to get firemen, different story. But when you're just like, I need the police to intervene in some situation, no, I don't even feel comfortable calling them when it's a car accident. Like, they'll show up and find some reason to shoot my ass. Like, the craziest scenarios, when the cops have shot a mentally disabled man who's laying on the ground with his hands in the air and they shoot this guy, he didn't do anything. His handler was right there with the cop saying, he doesn't understand what you're saying. He's mentally disabled. He can't understand what you're saying. And it wasn't like the guy was running around. He was laying on his back with both hands straight up in the fucking air. So he understood enough that the cops were in charge and he was doing what they told him to do. I don't know what they wanted him to do, but somehow one of them shoots the fucking guy. So, and they asked, it was like, why did you shoot me? And it was like, I don't know. The cop legitimately said, I don't know. So when you're there in a situation that is otherwise perfectly calm and you don't know why you shot somebody, then how the fuck am I supposed to know that you're going to show up and see my black ass and not shoot me? Because all kinds of black people have had the cops called on them because they're moving into their own apartment. I've had that situation happen to me. I was helping somebody move and they called the cops on us. And it was like, we're putting stuff into the house. Like, we're moving stuff inside. Reverse, like,
burglaring.
Like, yeah, we're giving this person stuff. But because you didn't see this black person prior, because they didn't live here prior, you just assumed it's a problem. And the cops showed up ready to arrest a bunch of niggas. Like, that's where we were at. So no, I don't. Nah, I can't think of one. If you can think of one, tweet at BantuCentric, but I can't.
I mean, I definitely see your point. We just need a better system, because we can't, like, what is the hiring process when you have people on the force that panic and shoot people and then go, I don't know, like, who yeah. hired you?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This man literally doesn't know why he just fired a gun. Like, yeah. What?
I don't know. We need the Panthers. We need to be ready to defend each other. We need to be ready to defend ourselves. I'm total proponent of that.
Honestly, I'm not even calling for an ambulance. Have you seen, like, the medical bill when you call an ambulance?
Like, yeah, get an Uber.
I'm calling an Uber. Like, yeah. Please don't get shot in front of me, because we gonna wait 10 minutes for this Uber mm-hmm. to arrive. Because, like, yeah. I'd rather pay $19.56 than pay $7,000 to go yeah. to the same place. But exactly. One got lights. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can keep your ambulance. We're taking this young Uber. The driver's gonna freak out, but that's all right. Yeah. I'm gonna load you in the back, and we gonna do mm-hmm. this.
Pick up your severed arm. Get some extra towels.
Get it together.
Ice. Get in there.
I got 30% off. I'm an Uber Rewards mm-hmm. member. It's gonna be yep. lit. I'm not calling for an ambulance.
No.
I remember one time my grandmother. Yeah, my grandmother accidentally cut herself in the kitchen, and she has this condition where when she starts bleeding, she doesn't clot properly.
Oh, yeah.
So she can't stop bleeding. She has to go to the hospital. Okay. So she cut herself, and my mom had to take her to the hospital. You think they called somebody? No. My mama got in an Uber, and they wrapped that wound up and took her to the hospital.
Yeah. Fuck that.
My mom was like, we're going to be all right. Got in the car.
Then firemen, call the fire department because you can't handle that yourself. Like, you just can't.
Yeah, call the fire department. Yeah. I've never heard of an issue with the firemen.
You, so.
They're never going to show up and assume you're the fire.
And so. Spray your ass, yeah.
Just like, shoot you down with water. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, you don't want to get sprayed by that hose. That hose will spray a hole in your body.
No.
But, firemen... never lash out like that. They never see you and be like, and just hit you with water. It's like, why'd you spray me? I don't know.
Oh,
like,
no.
Firemen don't do that. They have a better hiring process.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Call firemen. They actually show up when you call them.
Or call your friend. Like, seriously, call somebody you know who's got some connections. Like, honestly, you know? And I'm not someone that is trying to promote crime or vigilante justice, but when your government isn't going to protect you, you have the right to protect yourself. That's why all these fucking stand your ground laws are stupid when they're regarding white people that chase down the black guy, like Trayvon, how he followed him even though the cops said don't follow him anymore, and he followed him, started fighting the kid, and then when he couldn't beat him, he just shot him. Like, nah, that's not stand your ground. You chased a man down to shoot him. That's a different story. But stand your ground in general, if it was helpful for black people, it would make some sense, because we're getting assaulted on a daily basis. We need to stand our motherfucking ground. So yeah, I will never disparage anybody who protects their family. Like, period. I'm not gonna say that's a problem. You need to protect yourself. You need to be prepared to protect the people around you. If you need to buy a gun to do that, I say fine. That's Second Amendment. We're just as able to do that. And I think that a lot of black people have stigmas against guns because we see what gun violence has done in our communities. But if you need that for your own protection, there is nothing wrong with that. Because we're afraid out here. White people are afraid of us for some shit they made up, for some fan fiction that they wrote back in 18-something-something. That's why they're pissed at us, you know? Because their head cannon involves us being able to deal with 16-plus bullets like we're some kind of rhino. That's what their head cannon is. Our literal, proven, in the movie, in the books, written by the actual author is the cops show up and shoot your ass for no reason or they don't do shit. And that dude down the street's gonna kill you. So what are you gonna do to protect yourself? That's it. Who are you gonna call? Not the cops. Call me.
Ghostbusters. Well,
don't call me because I don't know who you are. I can't help you if I don't know who the fuck you are. But, you know, and I'm not in your vicinity. I'll fly across country to help Chai, but, you know, I don't know you.
It's not gonna help because I'll be dead by the time he gets here.
Well, right. I'll still get there. Then I'll bury your body and make sure your stuff gets to your next of kin. Like, come on. I'll take care of your affairs. Exactly. Somebody's gotta do it. You know, come on. But yeah. But speaking of taking care of people's affairs, we're done with this one. Thank you for listening to Bantu Centric. My name is Buck Rivers. You can find me at Buck Rivers Film or at M'Baku Rivers on Instagram. And you can find Imagine Only Productions at Imagine Only Prod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And Gifted Sounds Network at Gifted Sounds and pretty much all the different social media platforms that you can imagine. And you can find Cheyenne Finch at
Shy Productions, that's C-H-E-Y Productions on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find all my work on CheyenneFinch.com.
Yes. Tweet at us. Let us know what you guys think of the cops. But yeah, besides that, if there's nothing else to be said.
Nope.
Then, as always, stay woke.
And stay Bantu.
Alright, see ya.
Bye.
Bantu Centric is brought to you by Imagine Only Productions.